We are continuing this morning in our series through the Gospel of Luke. You would open your Bibles now with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we'll be reading and looking at verses 10 through 17 this morning. Luke chapter 9. And we'll begin reading in verse 10 and read through verse 17. Let us now hear the word of our God. Luke chapter 9 and verse 10. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country, and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them." As far as the reading of God's holy word. Let us now pray. Our God, you have given us this great gift, this treasure that is your word. And you have given it to us so that we might hear the voice of Christ speaking to us, your people. Open our hearts this day to hear what you would have us to hear. Work in us by your Spirit the assurance of your love for us. Work in us by your Spirit a desire to serve you all the days of our lives. And may you be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was studying this week and thinking about these verses in Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17, and what we see here as the Lord Jesus through this miraculous work, providing for so many people, my mind was drawn to the account in the Old Testament of Abraham. If you're familiar with the life of Abraham that is recounted in Genesis, you will be, and I hope you are, familiar with the time in which Abraham was called by God to sacrifice his son Isaac. God tells him to go. And as he goes, he gathers everything that he needs except one thing. He gathers the wood, he gathers the fire, he has the knife, but what doesn't he have? He doesn't have the sacrifice. And his son recognizes this, and as they're going up the mountain, he says, "Father, where's the lamb?" And Abraham responds, and he says, "God will provide. God will provide." Now, Abraham, we're not told what Abraham was thinking, but Abraham certainly had been commanded to sacrifice his son Isaac. And so he may have been saying, "Well, Isaac, God will provide, and you're the provision." But we know that God does provide. God stops Abraham. "Stop." And God provides a ram in the thicket. And that ram is then sacrificed. And Abraham recognizes God's gracious gift. And when he does, he calls the place, "The Lord provides." He knows that God is the God who provides, and God always is the one who continues to be the Lord our provider. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now we know as we come to this passage in which Jesus performs this miraculous provision, from the context, we know that the apostles have returned from their mission. Jesus sent them out on this mission. We read of that in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. They went out, they departed, they did the things that Jesus had instructed them to do, to go out to with authority over all demons and with the authority over diseases, to preach and to heal. And they've been doing that, and they come back now, and they recount to Jesus all that they had done. This must have been a wonderful meeting between Jesus and his disciples. They come back. Look at what we have done in your power. And here they're called apostles, those who he sent. These are the 12 that he would send out to do his continuing work. But we're told that Jesus took them in verse 10 and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to a city called Bethsaida. Now we learn from the account in Matthew's gospel that Jesus and the 12 traveled by boat to Bethsaida. Bethsaida is a city on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Interestingly, it's not in Herod's territory, but in Philip's territory, who was also a tetrarch. And John in his gospel tells us that this occurred as Passover was drawing near. This would have been in the spring, most likely in April. Mark tells us that there was a lot of grass for them to sit on. So here we are, nearing the Passover. It's in the spring. And the reason that Jesus and his disciples, the context here of this miracle is the context of going and seeking rest. That's why they are going to Bethsaida. They need a little rest and relaxation. This makes sense. They have just come back from doing the work of the Lord. They've gone out in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've ministered to others. And now they're coming back, and Jesus knows that they need time to rest and to refocus. So he takes them aside privately to a deserted place. Now this is a lesson for us, isn't it? This is a great lesson for us on rest, and especially for those who are involved in public ministry. As I thought about this in my calling as a pastor, I thought, I do need to rest. I need to rest. But what does that rest look like? It means that I need to spend time alone with God. You see, if you're going to be sent out publicly in the power of Christ, you better spend time privately in the presence of Christ. Because you will not be able to do it. And the same goes for all of us. We had better be spending time with the Lord. God has given us this day, hasn't he? This great gift of the Lord's day, the day of rest. Why has he given it to us? Because he knows we need it. Just as Jesus told his disciples to come with him and pulled them along privately, so God, in the Lord's day, draws us out of the world and calls us to rest. He says, listen, you have been in the world for 6 days, and you're going to go back out in the world for 6 days. And you can't do it without my power. And so you better come. And what a great gift this is. And I want to challenge you. Are you using the Lord's day as God has intended you to use the Lord's day? Are you using the Lord's day to prepare your heart for the 6 days ahead? Or are you filling the Lord's day with so many unnecessary distractions that you never truly rest in Christ? Because you will not be prepared for what is ahead if you are not spending that time with the Lord. Do it. Jesus knew this. In fact, Jesus himself would often go off. He himself, without sin, like us in every way, but without sin, he needed rest. He needed to refocus. But we're told here that this vacation didn't last very long. Jesus was popular, and the crowds followed him. Most likely because he took a boat over to Bethsaida, the crowds would have followed him along the coast and arrived there shortly after. Maybe they got a little rest, but the crowds arrived shortly after, because in verse 11 we read, the multitudes knew it, and they followed him. So here the crowds are coming. And that it's within this context that Jesus is going to perform this miracle. He is going to feed a lot of people. 5,000 men. But there were also, as we know from the other gospel accounts, women and children. There were well more than 5,000. He's going to feed these 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And there's going to be some left over. This is truly a great and glorious miracle. But what is important in the context here is what Jesus is teaching his disciples about himself. The disciples are going to learn a valuable lesson here. Jesus is going to teach them that He alone is the one who provides for all of their needs. The disciples, we're going to see, are going to make a mistake. They're going to start looking at the problem. They're going to look at the crowd, this hungry crowd. They're going to look to their own resources. All we have is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They're looking at the hungry crowd. They're looking at their meager provisions. But what, or more importantly, who aren't they looking at? The Lord Jesus Christ. They're not looking to Him. And as Jesus shows and teaches them to look to Him, He's also going to then show them that He is going to use them to provide for others. He's going to use them as His servants to provide for others. And these lessons are the lessons that we as God's church need to learn. Because often we can make that same mistake. We focus on the problem. We're overwhelmed with the need set before us. And then we look at our underwhelming resources. How can I possibly do this? Well, the answer is you can't. You need to look to the one who can, the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to look to the one who promises to provide all for us. And that's what I want you to see today. Who Jesus is as He demonstrates His provision through this miracle. He is the one who provides abundant satisfaction to all who come to Him. He is the one who provides abundant satisfaction to all who come to Him. And we'll look at how Jesus provides, who He provides this to, how He provides it, and what He provides this morning. The first thing I want you to see is that Jesus provides to those in need. Now, the disciples knew that there was a need. In fact, we read of that. After the multitudes have come, and after Jesus has spoken about the kingdom of God and healed those who had a need, in verse 12 we read, when the day began to wear away, the day is ending, the sun is setting. When the disciples realize there are a lot of people here, they're going to need to eat. And so they tell Jesus in verse 12, send the multitude away so that, in order that they may go into the surrounding towns and country, lodge and get provisions. They may get something to eat. Now, it's interesting to note here that the multitudes didn't seem to be leaving. In fact, the disciples have to come and ask Jesus to send them away. Such is the draw of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how I wish that was the draw that we saw more today. That people were not wanting to leave church. Let the dinner burn. Let it burn. Because there's better food here. But far too often, if we admitted our hearts have left church before our bodies have. But these individuals did not want to leave the presence of Jesus, did they? No. The disciples say, send them away. The disciples say, send them away because they didn't really know how to handle the need. It's interesting. Jesus says, you feed them. He puts it back on the disciples, and He does so to teach them something. We'll see that in a moment. You feed them, He tells them in verse 13. But notice how the disciples respond. They have no idea how to meet this need because they're looking in the wrong direction. The first response is fairly typical of humans. Human response, sinful human response, number one. We don't have the responsibility to help these people. Send them away so that they can find food on their own. They're not my responsibility. They're somebody else's responsibility. The disciples had a wrong heart here. Yes, the disciples are concerned that they eat, but they're not so concerned that they're willing to do something about it. Send them away that they might gain food from someone else. This wouldn't be the only time the disciples do this. We read elsewhere in the Gospels that they asked Jesus to send the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, away. They even rebuked those who brought their little children to Jesus. One commentator puts it this way. Their slogan was often, don't bother the master and don't bother us. Now, how often is that our heart? I'm busy. I mean, the disciples may have been thinking, this was supposed to be a vacation. And the crowds came. I haven't even gotten my rest. Jesus, send these people away. Put a close sign, please. I just want to rest. And that's our heart, isn't it? People come to us and interrupt us, and we start thinking about ourselves. Not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first response. We don't have the responsibility to help send them away. The second response, after Jesus tells them, you feed them, the second response is we don't have the resources to help. Okay, fine, I get it. We'll do something about it. We'll take the responsibility on. But I don't have the resources to do anything about it. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is not, even if we divided these up into the smallest parts we could possibly divide them up into, there is no way that these are going to feed anyone. Certainly not to satisfaction. In fact, it was calculated that to feed this many individuals, even if they were to go buy, and that's one of the suggestions, even if we were to go buy food for all these people, it would cost about 7 months' wages. Where are we going to get all this food? Where are we going to get the money? Jesus, you told us not to take any money with us. How are we going to supply food to these people? But here's the reality. These human solutions always have the wrong focus. Focus on the problem and not the provider. That was their problem. They were focused on the problem and not the provider. And perhaps that's you. Perhaps over and over again you have difficulties, and what do? You look at the difficulty. And maybe you look at your own resources. Well, the difficulty's too big and my resources are too little, so therefore, it's impossible. What does the Bible say? With God, all things are possible. And we see that here, don't we? See, the disciples didn't understand God's way. They needed to learn this lesson. When God commands us to do something, when He gives you a command, He gives you everything you need to complete that command. And He has given the disciples a command. You feed them. The disciples should have responded, yes, Lord. How do you want us to do it? How do you want us to do it? You've commanded it. You will give me what I need to fulfill your command. The problem is that we forget this truth. We forget this truth and we think that we have to provide for ourselves, but that is not God's response. God's response is another option, an option that the disciples did not even consider, and that often you and I don't consider, or we don't consider as deeply as we should. What is the response that Jesus offers here as He is instructing them to cause them to sit down into groups of 50, and as He is going to provide, the response that Jesus wants them to have is found in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, beginning with ask, seek, and knock. It's as if Jesus is saying to the disciples, you didn't ask me. You didn't seek me. You didn't knock. I'm going to give it anyway. But I want to teach you that you need to come to me. You know, we could easily sit in judgment upon the disciples and say, yeah, if I was in the presence of Jesus, I would have asked Jesus. But you know what? You are in the presence of Jesus. Jesus dwells in you. Do you ask Him? Do you ask Him after you've tried to solve the problem on your own? After you've exhausted your pity resources? Or do you go first? Do you ask, seek, and knock? And if we are honest with ourselves, I do not think we do this, do we? We don't really come and ask and seek and knock, believing that God will provide. God will provide. But Jesus here, He shows us the heart of God, doesn't He? He doesn't do what the disciples want Him to do. He doesn't put up a clothes sign. He doesn't put up a sign that says, on vacation. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. Second person of the Trinity. He is the King of kings. What king does this? What earthly king does this? If an earthly king wants to have some time to himself, he just tells them, go away. But not so Jesus. Jesus shows us the heart of God here. Jesus never turns anyone away. He did not turn these individuals away that had come to Him. The multitudes followed Him, and what did He do? Far from turning them away, He welcomed them, He received them, and He started preaching the good news to them. The good news of the kingdom of God. These would have been Jews who would have been under the teaching of the Pharisees and the rabbis that said, you must do this and that in order to gain eternal life. And he preaches the kingdom, the message of the kingdom. I have come. In me all is finished. Trust in me. Not in yourselves. I am going to provide not only food here, but I am going to be your provision for eternal life. Because you cannot provide it for yourself. And so Jesus does this. He receives them all. He lives out his calling in Matthew chapter 11, 28. Come to me all who are burdened, all who are heavy laden, all who have the weight of sin and the guilt of sin laid upon them, come to me, for my yoke is light. It is easy. It is not a burden. And Jesus provides for them all. We're told not only did he preach to them, therefore providing for them spiritually, but he healed them, providing for them physically. And in a moment, we're going to see that he feeds them. But I want you to notice something here. Yes, Jesus provides to those in need, but he does so here through his servants. Notice what Jesus does. In verse 13, you give them something to eat. You're the one that I'm going to use to feed this people. And then down in verse 16, after he has taken the five loaves and the two fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them, and broke them, what does he do? He doesn't go out and deliver them himself. But we're told that he gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. He puts these resources in the disciples' hands. You give them something to eat. I will provide you the food that you are to deliver, but you are to take that food and deliver it to my people. Now here, this is the delivery of physical food. But God is still doing this today. You see, God in Christ wanted the disciples and us to learn this great truth, that they would need to feed his sheep after he was gone. They would need to feed his sheep with his word, supernaturally given, and they would need to set it before the people. And Jesus is doing that today. Jesus has called individuals in the church, ministers and elders, to teach, to set forth before the people the word of God. In fact, we're going to ordain an elder today. An elder is ordained to deliver, as it were, the teaching of God's word to God's people, feeding the sheep. And so here we see a picture of that, don't we? It's interesting, in our observance of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the elders have a role to play. And their role is what? To deliver the bread and the wine to the people of God. To feed the people of God. Oh, what a great calling that is. And Jesus here supernaturally provides what is necessary for these people, but he uses his servants to deliver it. And he's still doing that today. But notice what Jesus provides. He doesn't simply provide to those in need and provide through his servants, but he provides out of his abundance. The abundance of his power. We're told here, after Jesus in verse 14 has his disciples make them sit down in groups of 50, that in verse 16 he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking to heaven, recognizing that everything comes from heaven, he looked to heaven, he blessed and broke them. He gave thanks for them, as is fitting before a meal. He broke them, and then he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples received them, and kept receiving them, and kept receiving them. And the disciples must have gathered some baskets from the crowd, maybe perhaps one for each, because we're told that 12 baskets were left over. And the disciples carried these baskets around, and they delivered the food to the people. We're not told specifically how it happened. Did the food multiply beneath the hands of Jesus? Did it multiply as it was delivered out to the people? But we do know this, it multiplied. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish became enough to feed 5,000 men and their families. And we are told in verse 17 that there were leftovers. There were leftovers. Out of the abundance of His power, God satisfies in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly, as we referenced earlier, the one that Abraham knew, the Lord who provides. But it is out of the abundance of His love. This is a sign of the heart of God, the compassion of God. Jesus truly is caring for the needs of these individuals. He's not going to allow them to go away hungry. He knows what they need. But ultimately, I want you to see what this points to. It's brought out clearly in the Gospel of John. Luke does not bring it out here. But in the abundance of His love, and we know that love is that greater love that no man has but the one who would give Himself for others. And so, Jesus provides out of the abundance, not only of His power and His love, but the abundance of His life. Turn with me to John chapter 6. In John's account of this, in John chapter 6, Jesus goes on, and if you look with me, in John chapter 6 and verse 27, He speaks to those who were filled by the bread and the fish. And in John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." And then dropping down to verse 32, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to Him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst." Jesus connects the work of His life-giving Spirit to the miracle of providing bread and fish to these individuals. And know this, when God gives to His people, God doesn't give simply out of His abundance. God has an abundance, but He doesn't simply take part of His abundance and give it to His people. But He gives to us according to His abundance. Not out of, but according to. He freely gives all of these things. In fact, as we look back at Luke chapter 9, we see that in this abundance, God gives us more than we can possibly consume. There were 12 baskets collected and taken up. And so God instructs us. Listen to these words from Psalm 81 and verse 10. Here's what God says to His people. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And He will do so because He gives and provides out of His abundance. And when He does, He provides unto full satisfaction. Notice with me in verse 17 of Luke chapter 9. We're told that all ate and were filled. All ate and were filled. J.C. Ryle, speaking of the satisfaction that Christ provides, says this, "The heart of man can never be satisfied with the things of this world. It is always empty and hungry and thirsty and dissatisfied until it comes to Christ." Do not attempt to satisfy yourself with the things of this world. It will leave you empty and void. Seek Christ. But notice this. All ate and were filled. Not one person left this meal unsatisfied. Not one person left this meal unsatisfied. Such is the table of our Lord. Everyone who who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ by true faith will be provided for. Think of that as we approach the Lord's table. Put it this way, no one ever leaves the Lord's table hungry. No one ever leaves the Lord's table hungry because He fills us with every good thing. And we need that, don't we? Because we are a needy people. The people who were in this crowd were needy. They needed something. The disciples needed something. The disciples needed to provide food to these individuals. But here's the good news. We are needy people, but Jesus loves needy people. Jesus came for needy people, didn't He? And most importantly, we learn here that Jesus provides for needy people. He provides for needy people. He provides supernaturally, something we cannot do. There is a miracle that happens here. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish become enough to feed a multitude. And all were fully satisfied. And there were leftovers. You see, when Jesus provides, remember this, He provides not only to satisfaction, but He provides above and beyond what we could ever ask or need, because that's who He is. He is the Lord who provides. So I want you to meditate upon this and think about this. Learn the lesson that the disciples had to learn. We are all needy people. But we are all needy people who are called to serve other needy people. And we cannot do what the disciples did. Our natural inclination is to do what? To look at the problem. Oh, look at all of these hungry people. And then as we look at the problem, to look at our inadequacy. We do not have it in us to provide. But that's the very place that Jesus loves to be. Because He says, don't look at the problem. Don't look at your resources, but look at Me. Look at Me because I am the one who provides. And I am the one who will provide abundant satisfaction to all who come to Me. And so come to Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank You that You are the Lord who provides. We thank You for demonstrating to us here that You, by supernatural means, bring about good and satisfaction in abundance to people. Now help us, God, to trust in You, not to make the mistakes that we often make, looking at the size of the difficulties we face, looking at our inability to handle them, but help us to look to You and know that You are the one who provides. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.